And Father, just as you and I talked earlier about this, Father, I thank you tonight for a tangible anointing in this place. Lord, your presence, tangible. Each and every person sense your presence and know your presence that is here. And Father, we yield this time into your hands. We yield this time to the Word and to the voice of your Word, the Spirit of your Word. Father, we thank you for answers spoken from heaven on the earth. We thank you, Lord God, for supernatural insight into the spirit realm. Father, and we'll never be the same after this night tonight, but Lord God, that we move up. We move up to another realm of the glory. Lord, for the changes that takes place, we thank you for it. We honor you for it, sir. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, bakasifide mono kotahare. Lo shile madro shipaha. Vimpantakan sole imantai. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You came expecting, didn't you? You know, it's the hungry ones that get filled. It's the hungry ones that get filled. And you know, when you're hungry for the Word, the Lord will always provide the Word in a way that's going to be so simple, so easy to understand, so relevant to your life. And I don't care whatever it is that may be going on in your life tonight. It makes no difference whatsoever. Whatever need that you may have come here with tonight. The Holy Ghost will take this message and He will tailor it. Custom fit it to your life. Amen? He's the master at doing that. He's the master tailor. Amen? We've been on a track this week in the Word, and we're going to continue on that track tonight. And we've been tracking the blessing. We've been tracking the blessing. We've been talking about the power of the blessing. Amen? Amen. Were you here Sunday morning?
Yes.
Were you here last night?
Yes.
Are you here tonight?
Yes.
Well, all right then. I'll just make sure you're here. And we're locating the blessing, the empowering of God, and we've found it. Amen. We found it. We found it in the Word. The Holy Ghost has revealed it to us in the Word. And we have found that the blessing is on the inside of us. He lives on the inside of us. Amen. Say it with me, the blessing's on the inside. Well, just because the blessing or the blesser lives on the inside of you, this doesn't guarantee that the blessing is going to affect the outside. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. Because there's a lot of people that go through life and the greater one lives in them, but yet they live defeated lives. They're sick, dying of diseases, devilish diseases they have no business dying with. Living in lack financially. And all the while, the greater one, the blessing of God, the blessing of Abraham himself, the empowering of the Holy Ghost, resident on the inside. Amen? Well, the blessing needs to be released if we're going to benefit from it. If we're going to benefit from the blessing that's on the inside of us, it needs to be unlocked. It needs to be unlocked. Well, is God locking it up from us? No, God's not locking anything up from us. Everything is unlocked as far as He's concerned. We're the ones that kind of lock things up. Amen? We lock them up. So turn with me tonight to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll pick up here again. Ephesians chapter 1. Have you been learning anything? Your faith being challenged? Growing to new heights? Ephesians chapter 1, and it reads here in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," everybody say has. What does that mean? It's already happened. It's already done. It's in the past, right? Who has blessed us, who has empowered us, who has anointed us with every spiritual blessing, every spiritual empowering in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. I like that so much. And the Living Bible says this: "How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven, because we belong to Christ." I like that. Because we belong to Christ. And if you remember too, we read from God's Word translation, it says this: "Through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer." I like that translation. Through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. In other words, everything that heaven's got, I've got. Amen? Amen? Don't sound so excited now. That ought to make you shout right there. Everything that heaven's got, I've got. In other words, you are never ever going to possess more of heaven than you do right now at this very moment. You're not going to just possess heaven when you get there to the place. Listen, you're already there on the inside. Amen? I told you this last night. My house. I'm not in my house right now at the moment. I'm right here. But I still possess that house. I still own that house. It's mine. Amen? And I can enjoy the benefits. Whatever is in there, if I need something, I just go in there and get it. Amen? Well, we got access. We got access to everything that heaven's got to offer. And the Word tells us that Jesus is the door. He's the door. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? He's the door. And no longer do we have to be satisfied just with hoping God opens one of His windows and throws something out at us. Feel sorry for us and He'll just throw us a few crumbs out the window. We're living under a new covenant, a new time. It's a brand new time. This is the greatest time in all of human history, this time that we are living in. There hasn't been any greater days than the days that we are living in today. God pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, pouring out of His Spirit. Well, where is His Spirit? It's on the inside of you. Amen. It's on the inside of you. And this is where a lot of believers miss it. We're sitting around waiting for something to fall out of the sky. For a sovereign move of God. God does not move sovereignly in the life of the believer. He's only sovereign to the world. Do you hear what I said? He's only sovereign to the world. So we're not sitting around waiting, well, maybe God's going to do this, maybe God's going to do that. No, 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 no. When you've got His Word, He moves by covenant. In your life, He's a covenant God. He doesn't pick and choose, well, I'm going to heal this one, and I'm not going to heal that one, or I'm going to bless this one, I'm not going to bless this one over here. I just don't like the color of their hair. No, that's not God. When you're born again, when you're in Christ, when He's in you, everything that heaven's got belongs to you. You've got access to everything. Jesus is the door. Amen. No longer do we have to sit around just hoping and praying and wringing our hands. Well, God, you know, maybe God will do it. Maybe God will come through. Maybe He won't. No, He's already come through. He's waiting for you to hook up. He's waiting for you to get in faith. He's waiting for you to realize who He created you to be. To realize that the blessing lives on the inside of you. And that you don't have to sit around waiting and hoping and, well, you know, maybe this will happen and, you know, God, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shelemono kusifida. Hallelujah. Shelemona kusifida. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. The Lord is good. And He'll show you His goodness if you allow it. There's things locked up on the inside of you. It's time for them to come out. It's time for them to come out. You answered the call. You answered the call. You answered the call, said the Holy Ghost. And now I'm putting the keys in your hand. The keys that are going to unlock your future. Your future is bright. Your yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your ministry is bright. Your ministry is bright. Oh, Lord, I thank you that it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Shh. Dear Lord Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus. Courses of people's lives being redirected and changed. Ordered by the Holy Ghost. Steps being set in order. Things being set in motion in the Spirit. Equipping. And equipping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Everything that heaven's got, we've got. All the blessing in heaven belongs to us. Everything. Everything. Without question. And this blessing that we're talking about tonight, it's a spiritual blessing. And if the blessing is a spiritual blessing, there must be a connecting point between this natural realm and the realm of the Spirit in order for this blessing to have a channel to flow through. It needs a connecting point. Amen? The connecting point begins with your faith. It begins with your faith. Your faith is the connecting point. Hallelujah. So we got to hook up. Say it with me, I'm hooking up. Say it with me, there must be a point of contact. When contact is made, power is released. Did you hear what I said? When contact is made, power is released. Now the power has been there all the time. Been there for ages and from before the foundation of the world. Been there all along. But in order for that power to be released, it requires a point of contact. Amen? And there are two primary points of contact. We're going to be talking about one of them tonight. Two primary points of contact, or ways that we contact this spiritual blessing or this spiritual empowering that causes us to prosper in whatever it is that we set our hands to prosper in our bodies, to prosper in our marriages, and financially especially. The children of God, the people of God, ought to be the most blessed people financially than anybody else in the world. And it is high time that the body of Christ step up and be who they're supposed to be financially. It's time that ministers of the gospel, preachers, pastors, begin to be an example for their flocks. Begin to set the standard, to be an example. Amen? Because how can the rest of the body go unless the head's going there or there? Amen? But we need a point of contact. And tonight we're going to be talking about this first point of contact in order to release the blessing that's on the inside of us. The first way we connect or make contact with the blessing is through this, and I want you to write this down. It's called the law of saying. The law of saying. S-A-Y-I-N-G. I talk too Kentuckian for you or what? The law of saying. The law of saying will release the blessing. The law of saying will release the blessing. Words play a very, very important role in your financial prosperity. Don't ever forget this. Your words. Many people forget it because it never really becomes real, or the revelation never really hits their hearts the way it should. They may mentally agree with something, or you hear messages taught about it. But listen, this has to become a lifestyle. It has to become real to you on the inside. And not, well, I'm going to begin to speak right, and I'm going to say this right way, and you pick it up, and it just becomes Christianese. Amen. And they can't figure out why they never really connect with the power. And there's never really a connection and nothing really happens. Well, it's got to drop down in your heart. It's got to get in your spirit. And once it gets in your spirit, you'll begin to make contact. When you begin to speak words of faith, those words come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. So the revelation has got to become real, and we should never, ever get bored with the simplicity of the Word. You know, sometimes we want to overcomplicate things, and, well, you know, give me something deep, give me something complicated. Well, you're not even doing the simple things yet. Don't ever allow yourself to become bored with the Word. Don't ever allow yourself to become bored, with the simple things of confession. Amen. Confession. Because confession brings possession. And so you're never, ever going to get around confession. Confession is a must. The law of saying. The law of saying. Words. Amen? God's word is never going to be boring to the believer that's a doer of that word. If you ever become bored with the word, well, you know, I've already heard about confession. I mean, I heard about that 20 years ago. Yeah, but look at your life. Amen? Amen. We got to make contact. And you can't get bored with this word. It's life. Yes, it is. It's life. Yes, it is. Did you hear what I said? Yes, it is. Always remember this. If the word is old to you, then it's not real. If the word ever becomes old to you and it's just stale, and you know, you read your Bible and it's just like, well, and there's nothing's ever there, and then it's not real to you. It's not life. Hallelujah. 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 It's time to drink. Amen. 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 It's time to drink. Amen. It's time to drink. There's a well on the inside of you that has been plugged up for too long. Amen. Amen. And it's time to drink again. There's life on the inside of you that's just busting to get out. And you didn't know quite how to make the contact. You didn't know the connection. You didn't know this and you didn't know that. Well, it's time. Amen. I don't even know his name. Hallelujah. It's time. The Holy Ghost does. Amen. trying to get some things to you that you've been wondering about. No, he's going to get some things to you. You watch. He's going to straighten some things out. That you thought there's no way in the world this could ever get straightened out. You watch and see. God's gracious. God's merciful. God is good. His mercy endures forever. He's the master at straightening out stuff. Amen. So don't ever let the word become boring to you. Don't ever get bored with the word. God's word is life in the fullest sense of the word. Amen. The blessing is resident on the inside of the born-again Christian, on the inside of the born-again believer. The trouble is that this blessing has been locked up in us. It's been plugged up on the inside. And it needs a deliverance. Needs to come out. Amen? It's been locked up because we've said the wrong things. We plug it up with our words. Words of doubt and unbelief. Fear. Fear-filled words. And we plug up the blessing and we hinder the blessing. We lock up the blessing that's on the inside of us that's saying, I understand, you know, what the situation may look like, but it doesn't mean that you have to cave in and give in to the situation. Why don't you just stand up and speak my word and release the blessing and allow the blessing to come on the scene and change the situation? Amen? Amen. The law of saying will unlock the blessing in your life. Been on lockdown for too long. Amen? And it's not just a one-time thing we're talking about here. Well, you know, if I confess this 30 times, and it's... No. You shouldn't have to confess something 30 times. When you speak it one time, it should be as good as done. And then you just thank God for it from there on out. It's not that when you confess something or you say something that you're trying to talk God into doing. You know, a lot of people think that about confession. Well, if I just say this long enough, if I just say this long enough. No. You say it one time and you say it in faith. And then you begin to praise God. Father, I thank you that need is met. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And look here in verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. Now, who's got to do the choosing? Is God going to choose for us? No. He's telling you to choose. So whether you ever you have the blessing operating in your life or the curse operating in your life or the goodness of God or the badness of the devil, whatever you want to put it, you got prosperity working or you got poverty working, you got health and divine health working or you got sickness and disease working, the choice is yours. It's not God's. God's already made his choice. He's waiting for you to make yours. Amen. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. I like that so much. He, say it with me, he is my life. And the length of my days. Amen. He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now the blessing and the curse have been set before us. And it's up to us to choose which one we allow to be working in our lives. It's not up to God, it's up to us. Amen? In other words, it's up to our words. It's up to our words. What are you going to say? Are you going to get in agreement with God? And are you going to begin to speak what God's word says? If God's word said that you were healed by 1 Peter 2:24, then you're healed. That means that you don't have to ask your body. Because sometimes you can ask your body and your body will tell you something that's contrary to what the word says. No, my body says this. Well, I'm not asking my body. I don't care what my body says. What are you doing? You're making contact. You're making contact with the blessing. It's a spiritual thing, which will override and change things in the natural. Spiritual law will always override natural law. The natural law says, you're sick, you're going to die. Spiritual law says, no. You've been healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. Now, you have a choice. Which one are you going to get in agreement with and which one are you going to talk? Are you going to talk the blessing or are you going to talk the cursing? And if you're talking the curse is what's going to come to pass. You're going to plug up the blessing. You're going to plug up the power. Then you start pointing fingers and blaming God. Well, God did this and I guess the word doesn't work. No, you didn't work. Amen. Like what Keith Moore says, I tried that faith stuff and faith doesn't work. No, faith tried you and you didn't work. I tried that prosperity stuff and you know that prosperity stuff just doesn't work. No, prosperity tried you. You didn't work. You got to be faithful with the word. It's a faithful man that's going to abound. That's what we read, Proverbs. Faithful man will abound with blessings. And if you aren't faithful to speak the word and stand on the word in faith, you can forget about the abounding. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. All believers, what do you think about this? All of us as believers have been redeemed from the curse, have we not? We have been redeemed from the curse. We're going to look at that here in a few minutes. But not all Christians, not all believers are experiencing the benefits of being redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed from the curse to the blessing, but not all believers are experiencing the blessing in their lives. Primarily because of wrong thinking. Wrong religious teaching has screwed up a lot of people. Amen. Amen. Wrong speaking. And we plugged it up on the inside. No, either we're redeemed or we're not. Either blood has been shed or it hasn't. Either the blood of Jesus is powerful enough or it's not. You know, that's like saying, you know, something doesn't work for you or you know, something, you know, goes wrong or, you know, something bad is going on in your life. And it's like you're saying, well, I guess the blood of Jesus wasn't powerful enough for me. I guess his blood just wasn't strong enough. No, it's strong enough. You got to get your thinking straight and your talking straight and you got to begin to get in agreement with God. And get out of this natural realm and truly start living by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Hook up with the Word. Hook up with the Spirit of God. Take authority over the situation. Release the blessing. The blessing is a place of authority. And allow it to begin to change things. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. The blessing will change things. The very words of your mouth will determine the direction your life takes. Yeah. Whatever it is that you are saying will determine the direction of your life. If you are always speaking defeat or lack, I don't have enough money, I'm not going to have enough money, I wonder if I'm going to have enough money this month. No, I'm not going to have enough money, I'm going to have too much. Either God has supplied all of your need or He hasn't. Which is it? Amen. What's Philippians 4:19 say? According to His riches. He supplies your need not according to the earth's economy. He supplies your need not according to natural things. He supplies your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus, in the anointing of the Anointed One, Jesus. And that's a spiritual thing. So your needs have already been provided for. And this may come to shock as some of you. God's done everything that He's going to do about your needs. Amen. He's not going to do anything else about them. What you want Him to do? Crawl up there on the cross and die again? Either the blood was powerful enough or it wasn't. He's done everything that the work is finished. Amen. As far as He's concerned. Now the rest of it is up to us. Whether we are going to receive His finished work and truly step up and be people of faith and be the men and women of God that God's called us to be and do the things that God has called us to do, or we're going to sit around and make excuses. Well, I just didn't have enough money, or I didn't have enough this, and I didn't have enough that to do that. You know, that property, $10 million. I mean, that's just for the land. That doesn't include the buildings that we're going to put. $10 million. You know, if we do, I'm sorry, God. Well, we just didn't have enough money to do that. You know, please forgive us. I got a feeling that isn't just going to hold up. That isn't going to hold water. That bucket leaks. Amen. That's not going to hold water before the throne of God. When God said, I already sent my word to you, what else did you need? See, we don't have a money problem. Christians don't have money problems. You got a word problem. That's what you got. You got a revelation problem. You got a words speaking out of your mouth problem. The law of saying problem. The problem is not on God's end. The problem's on the receiving end. Amen? Amen? Praise God. The very words that you speak will determine the direction of your life. Hallelujah. Spiritual blessing, the blessing of God, residing on the inside of you. It's there on the inside. Right? If you're born again, the blessing's on the inside, but the blessing needs to come out. Well, how does a blessing come out? With our words. Our words will release the blessing. You know, the blessing is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of obedience to God in every area of our lives. See, a lot of times, you know, we look at natural things and we think that, you know, the houses is a blessing and the cars are the blessing and, you know, natural things are the blessing. That's not the blessing. The blessing is the anointing. The blessing is the empowering of God. And the things that you see are just a result of the blessing. Amen? We got to learn to obey God. Learn to get in agreement with God. Amen. Learn to obey God even with our words, always speaking the right things. And obey God in our thoughts and even our actions. Man, if we get our mind renewed and realize, you know, that everything has already been done. Everything's been bought and paid for. And, you know, all we got to simply do is receive it by faith and tap into it by faith and, you know, speak the right words and act right. And if it's already done, well, if it's already done, you know, we should wipe that defeated, disgusted look off of our faces sometimes. Amen. That, oh, woe is me. Look at poor, pitiful little me. You look or you walk around all depressed and moping and, you know. I can't get depressed. I got too much working on the inside of me. If I get depressed, it's because I choose to, but I don't. Amen? You know, if all of these things have already been done for us, you think about it, He's already provided every need has been met as far as God's concerned. You know, I think that we would act a little bit different than the way that we act. Amen? Think about it. You know, if your body was healed the way that the Word says that your body was healed, the way that God says it's healed, then how would you act? Well, you wouldn't be letting your body tell you and dictate to you what to do all the time. You'd tell your body what you're going to do. Amen? If you had every bill paid and everything was done just the way the Word says it's done and you really did believe it, then we would act like we believed it. We would be a doer of what we believe. We would walk around and not always talking about, you know, how much money or how little money we've got. And I don't care if you don't have 2 cents in your pocket. A man of faith is not going to, well, you know, I just don't have a, you know. A man of faith, if you are truly a man of faith, nobody around you should even know. Did you hear what I said? If you are truly a man of faith and truly acting on the Word and truly taking your place in Christ Jesus, you're not going to be wearing your feelings on your sleeve when you come to church and you wonder, oh, what's wrong with them? You know, it's like the 5th of the month, and I guess maybe they didn't get their rent paid. You can sure tell it. You know, look at their face. Look of worry and despair. Now, all of us have opportunities like that. Everybody's got opportunities to get depressed. Everybody's got opportunities to sit down and to think about the problem and rehearse the problem and worry about the problem. But listen, you just need to pass up the opportunities. Amen? Opportunities come to everybody, even me. But we just pass them up. No. It's an opportunity for the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, when you truly realize that you have been redeemed from the curse, then you won't ever speak of the curse again. You won't ever begin to speak of things that are under the curse again. You won't talk like. When you realize that you've been redeemed from the curse, you're not going to go around talking like all the time. You're going to talk about what you got. Even if you don't have very much, you're going to praise God for the little that you do have, and you're going to thank Him for what He's already provided. You're not going to talk about the curse. You've been redeemed from the curse. Why would you want to go around glorifying the curse? Because actually, that's what you're doing. You're glorifying the enemy. You're building up the enemy. Instead of praising God, you're praising the devil. Except we don't go around saying, you know, praise you, Satan. We don't do that. But what you're doing is, in one sense, you are doing that. You're glorifying Him. Listen, blood has been shed. Either Jesus is Lord or He isn't. And He is. He is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. Say it with me. He's Lord of my finances.
He's Lord of my family.
He's Lord of my
family.
He's Lord of my body.
He's Lord of my
church.
He's Lord over
Maui. He's Lord over all of Hawaii.
He's Lord of all.
He's Lord even in the South Pacific.
He's Lord.
If he's Lord, that means that he's far above all these other things. And if he's far above all these other things and we're seated with him, then that means that we are far above all these other things as well. See, we don't realize our position. We don't realize that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all these things too. Galatians chapter 3. You getting anything tonight? Robin, I don't know what time I started preaching, so you're going to have to flag me down here. Huh? Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Here we go. Are you there? I want you to see this. Everybody needs to open their Bibles and look at this. Everybody. Don't just take my word for it. No, I want you to see it for yourself. Well, I know what it says. I don't care if you know what it says. I'm glad you know what it says, but I want you to read it. Amen? Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has. There's that word again. What's that mean? It's already happened. It's in the past. It's behind us. It's not ahead of us. It's behind us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing, say the blessing,
blessing.
He became a curse, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. New Living Translation. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing. Catch this. I'm going to read it again. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. The same blessing that was on Abraham. Now is yours. You're the seed of Abraham. And you think about what the blessing did in Abraham's life. And you know, amen. Abraham had the blessing upon him. He didn't have it in him. He wasn't yet born again. Amen? He wasn't yet born again at that time. The blessing was on him. But now, you know, as believers, we don't have to look outside for the blessing. And, you know, the blessing's on the inside. We want to look for the blessing. We need to look inward. Amen? So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And whenever we read the word law in the Bible, it's referring to either one of two things. It's either referring to the Ten Commandments, or it's referring to the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Amen? And there is nothing, think about this, if he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, and the law refers to one of these two things, there's nothing in the Ten Commandments that refers to the curse of the law. So we'll just have to go to the first five books of the Bible and see what the curse of the law entails. Amen? Amen? And we'll find out what the curse or the punishment for breaking God's law is. And actually, the curse of the law is threefold. Threefold. It affects three different areas. I want you to write this down. The curse of the law is threefold. It's this. It's spiritual death. It's poverty. And it's sickness and disease. So when we talk about being redeemed from the curse of the law, we're talking about being redeemed from spiritual death, being redeemed from poverty, and sickness and disease. And if you'll go back to the book of Genesis, you don't have to turn there tonight, but if you'll go back to the book of Genesis, you'll see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, I believe it is, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely, what? Die. So Adam and Eve violated God's law, and spiritual death entered into mankind, into man's spirit, and spiritual death then in turn produced a physical death. You know, death was never ever a part of God's original plan for creation. Never. Amen? Because death is under the curse. Death is under the curse. All death is under the curse. Death is the enemy of God. And if death is the enemy of God, death should be your enemy as well. Amen? Physical death, the Bible tells us this, physical death will be the last enemy that's put underfoot. Physical death. I'm talking about your physical body. Physical death will be the last enemy that's put underfoot. But praise God, we know that spiritual death has already been put underfoot. We're not waiting for that to happen because it's already happened. Amen? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. And poverty and lack and sickness and disease, these things are also under the curse of the law, which we have been redeemed from already. We don't have to wait to get to heaven before we get healed. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven before we're blessed financially, in order to have, we can say all of our needs really are met. We should be enjoying days of heaven on the earth. Amen. So Jesus took the curse, including the curse of poverty. And I want you to turn and look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Jesus took the curse of poverty when he died on the cross. He took the curse, and in turn, he gave us the blessing, or provided for us the blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you there? Verse 8 or verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace or the unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, a lot of people have taken this scripture and they've taken it and they've taught it completely wrong because they haven't had a revelation of prosperity. They haven't had a revelation of Jesus and who he really was. They think that Jesus was poor when he was here, when he was born, he was poor. Listen, he already had wise men seeking him out. The Bible doesn't say that there were three wise men that were seeking him out. And these three wise men came bearing. And no, the Bible doesn't say anything about three wise men. It just says wise men. It could have been 103. It could have been 1,003. And it said they came bearing gifts. He had barely showed up on the planet. And besides that, the wise men didn't come to him when he was laying in the manger. He was already about 2 years old when they showed up. That just screws up the Christmas story, doesn't it? But that's the Bible. That's the way it is. I didn't write the book, he did. So why do we screw it up? Why do churches screw it up? That's beyond me. It just doesn't make sense. I guess it makes for a good story, but that's about all it is a good story. But he was barely here for 2 years old. He just barely got on this planet, and he already had money that was chasing him down. He had a staff that worked with him, that was on staff with him. You know, these were prominent people. These were business people. Luke was even a doctor. I've never seen a poor doctor. Amen. And not only that, Jesus was responsible for their salaries. He was responsible for the oversight of all these things. And, you know, oh, Jesus was poor, you know, he didn't have any place to lay his head. Listen, they didn't have Hiltons and all this stuff, you know, like what we got today. And, you know, he traveled a lot. He ministered a lot. Stayed in a lot of people's houses. Probably slept under bridges and everything else. Amen? That was the day. That was the day. But it wasn't because he was poor. I mean, my goodness, when he died on the cross, they were casting lots for his clothes. Amen? And I'm sure if it had been some old raggedy junk clothes, you know, we don't want those things. Amen? So he wasn't poor. And I know some of you have heard a lot of this before, but listen, we need to stir some of this up and put ourselves in remembrance of this continually. Remember who he was, who he is in you. And we don't have to go without. Amen? So Jesus took the curse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He was rich, and he became poor. The point where he became poor, and he took on the sin of the world, and he took on poverty, he took on all these things that entered in with sin, was when he was on the cross. That's when he became poor. He became the poorest of the poor. Everything, you know, was laid upon him. All lack, all poverty. It says that you through his poverty might become rich. Amplified says this. This one's cool. It says, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you, everybody say me, might become enriched or abundantly supplied. I like the way it says that there. He took on poverty. He took poverty on the cross with him so that we could be abundantly supplied, so we would have a supply. Say it with me, I got a supply. Amen. He ain't poor no more. That was only a temporary thing. It's very temporary. So Jesus took the curse of poverty on himself, and he gave us the blessing. That blessing is a spiritual blessing, and it exists on the inside of every Christian, every born-again believer. But not every Christian or not every believer realizes that and unlocks that blessing and allows that blessing to come out. The way that we unlock the blessing is how? The words, the law of saying. We can bless ourselves by our words, or we can curse ourselves by our words. The choice is ours. Amen? Amen? Financial prosperity doesn't just happen for some people because God picks and chooses certain ones to bless financially. No, it has to all do with our words. Amen? Our attitude. Amen? And if you don't like what you have right now at this point in your life, then you need to do a checkup on what you've been saying. Because you have today exactly what you said yesterday. If you don't have anything today, it's because you said you didn't have anything yesterday. And if you're going to have something tomorrow, then you're going to have to get in agreement with the Word and begin to speak the Word. Get in faith, and don't just do it because, well, Pastor Wayne said this, and you're just mentally agreeing. Listen, if you want to have things change, then you're going to have to feed your faith on this. You're going to have to get these DVDs and CDs, and you're going to have to begin to read books. You're going to have to begin to feed your spirit this and get it down in your spirit. And then when you begin to say things, you're not just saying what somebody else says. You're saying it, and those words come to pass. Amen. Words are so important. So important. Amen? Amen? Praise God. James chapter 3, real quick. Are you with me?
Yes.
We feeding your faith in here tonight?
Yes.
For not, it's not because we're not feeding, it's because you're not eating. James 3, there's another word we can't get bored with. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says here in verse 2, "We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way." Did you hear that? "But those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way." Say it with me. Financial prosperity, is in my control. My health is in my control. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. Verse 5, "So also, the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." We had that around here, didn't we, just a couple of months ago, a month ago, whenever it was, and those thousands of acres burned up on the other side of the mountain. And it all started with a tiny spark. Amen. 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 "And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself." That's the tongue that's not speaking in line with God's word. That's the tongue that's not speaking the word of God, not speaking faith. Amen? Well, you know, if it can be set on fire by hell, how much more could it be set on fire by heaven? How about we get some Holy Ghost fire in our tongue for a change? Instead of causing destruction in our life, we cause destruction to the enemy. Amen? "People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish. But no one," I think it says in the King James or New King James, it says, "but no man." Didn't it say that?
Yeah.
"But no man." Well, that may be true, but the Holy Ghost can. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost will help you tame your tongue.
Amen.
Amen? "But no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." Is that with me? That's not right. "Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool." Amen. We gotta check up on what we're saying. We shouldn't. I think it's a Message Bible. It says that talking out of both sides of your mouth. This side you say one thing. Something happens, or the pressure gets on, or the wind's blowing against the boat, and you know, you give in to the wind when you're just gonna let it, and then you talk out another way over this side. And it's like your life is just you just have no direction. It's like you're lost. Amen? You know, we're going to have to get specific with our words and say what we want to have, and then we'll have what we say. It takes discipline. And the Christian who disciplines himself and controlling his words will be able to change the course of his life. It takes discipline to talk right. Amen? And if you've got manifestations of the curse happening in your life, then you need to release the blessing. Release words of faith over your life and situations, and you can turn things around with your words, even lack. You can turn it around. You can get needs met with your words. And don't waste your words. Don't waste them. Always mean what you say and say what you mean. And, this is so important, and so many people wonder why things aren't happening. Listen, you need to be a man or woman of your word, even in the little things. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at 7 o'clock, then be there at 7 o'clock. You get there at 7:01, you're late. And you lied. There's no Hawaiian time in God's time. It doesn't exist. You know, we laugh about it. We laugh about it and we make excuses about it. Well, you know, we just laugh it off. You know, oh, just Hawaiian time. No, it's not even funny. It's a matter of life and death, actually. You know, you get technical about some of these things. If you say you're going to do something, say you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, then you be there. Because if you're not, when you stand up and you begin to speak against a mountain, according to Mark 11, 23, 24, have faith in God, for verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart those things that he saith, but believe those things that he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he saith. When you stand up and you begin to speak to one of those mountains, that mountain's just going to sit there and laugh at you. Well, they don't mean it. They're not a man of their word. There's no integrity in them. There's no in character there. You get up and you call money in, you do things like that, but yet, you know, and you tell your employer you're going to do something for them and then you don't do it. I'm preaching to you now. I'm where you live. Huh? You speak the things in your mind. Well, I guess it didn't work. No, it worked. You didn't work. It takes discipline. You know, there's a lot of areas in our lives that we just need to take the slack out of. You know, there's a lot of believers. There's a lot of believers in this church. I'm the pastor here. I can say this. Some of you just need a swift kick in the behind. Jaime says it's true, so, you know, he's got me on this one. So it's not just me, it's Jaime as well. There's other people that know it's true. You know it's true. Amen. Then you come, oh, Pastor, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me for this? Can you pray for me for that? And Pastor, please pray for me for this. Why don't you just do the message that we preached last week? It's not going to do me any good to pray for you because you're not doing the word. We can pray till the cows come home, and it ain't going to make any difference. Your word is on the line. Your integrity, your character, when you say something, mean what you say. And then do it at all costs. Even if you said something and now it's inconvenient for you. Well, of course, you know, opportunities like that, the devil's going to work on you. Well, you know, I just really don't feel like it. Hey, you know, it's your life. You don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. And you wonder why you don't get blessed. Hallelujah. The law of saying releases the blessing that's resident on the inside of you. So if the blessing isn't being released, then we need to do a checkup on what we're saying. Don't cave in to physical senses. Don't cave in to feelings. Hallelujah. You know, the natural realm is going to present problems from time to time. You know, welcome to the real world. Amen. But the problem is just an opportunity for the Word. Amen. It's an opportunity for you to truly, having done all to stand, let's see if you can really stand. Let's see if you're going to sit down. Or see if it's going to, see if you're going to run. Run and hide. Amen. Well, we better stop here tonight, because if I go any further in this, we're going to be here another hour. And I want you to come back tomorrow night, so...